The title this morning is Unlimited Possibilities. Unlimited Possibilities. Unlimited Possibilities. I'm saying that for a reason, because many times we live in this life and we limit ourselves by the choices that we make. Amen? You go out and you drink, you get in trouble, and before you know it, you got a DUI, and before you know it, you're in trouble, and your life spins out of control. Amen? You take the path of least resistance, and you find yourself in trouble. Amen? You ever do that? All right, I just want to check. And what happens is God doesn't want you to make those choices because it limits you. Those decisions that we make in the world and we make in the flesh limit our ability for all the things that God has for us. But good news, God is the God of unlimited possibilities. Amen? Shout with me this morning, all things are possible with God. Touch your neighbor, say, all things are possible with God. See, all things are possible with God. You might not have the possibility, but when you place your things and trust in God, guess what? The impossibilities become possible. Amen? As Christians, we walk by faith and not by sight. I don't look at the things I'm looking at today. I know that there's something better on the horizons. Amen? I'm not worried about, how I'm going to pay the bills. I know that I trust in God. When I give to God, God's going to make sure that all my needs are met. Amen? So we're going to talk a little bit this morning about unlimited possibilities. And this morning, you need to be focusing your attention on God, so that we can see him in all the things that we do. You got to understand, there's situations in your life that seem impossible. I've experienced them, and I still look at things and I go, God, that's just so impossible. And he goes, for you it is. You child of God, it is impossible for you. But if I get in the mix, if you put it into my hands, if you trust me just a little bit and believe that I can do it, I'll do it. Amen. Take a look at this slide. Unlimited possibilities. The sky's the limit. Nothing should hold you back. You shouldn't put yourself into a box because God hasn't placed you in a box. You got to get your thinking around the things of God. Shout, I have unlimited possibilities. Say that again. I have unlimited possibilities. So you got to believe it. You got to get that in your spirit, man, this morning, that you have unlimited possibility. You can do anything and everything through Christ Jesus. You go, Pastor, you know, what do you mean? Just because none of your persons in your family have ever went to college, you can be the first. Amen? Well, you know, we've always rented all our life. We never could ever own our own home. See, you limited yourself. God wants you to grow. God wants you to have all the things that God has planned for your life to have. Amen? Well, I can't have a house. Who said you can't have a house? Did God say you can't have a house? See, you can't limit. You don't want to limit God. Amen? Because God is unlimited. And this morning, you need to understand that we got to be single-focused on the things of God. We got to pay attention to what God's saying. He's got a good plan for you. And you got to focus on his plan and his will for your life. And you can't afford to veer off course. Just one degree off. One time of disobedience from what God's told you to do, and you go into a total different direction than God's really had for you. Amen? Remember, he knows the beginning, and he knows the end. He's already starting from the end. He's trying to get you to the end result, but sometimes we have to go around the mountain a few times that he didn't really want you to travel. Amen? Took a little bit more gas money to get there because we chose not to listen to God. Amen? So last week we said that we wanted to pursue a life of impact, that our lives makes a difference in somebody else's life. Amen? It's true. There's something in you that people want. They don't know it yet, but they know you're different than the way the world reacts to things. Amen? When the pressure is on, the true you comes out. You're like a tube of toothpaste, you know? When you start to get squeezed, whatever inside is coming out. So it better be the Word of God coming out of you. There are scriptures this morning I'm going to share with you. Just a few, only about 50 of them, amen? We'll get out about 2:45 today, amen? It's okay. But there's some scriptures I want to share with you so that you understand that all things are possible through Christ Jesus, and that sometimes things haven't worked out to this point in your life, and that's okay, because today I'm going to help you get your mind switched. I'm going to turn the switch on so that you're going to see some unlimited possibilities. You're going to be able to smell the roses along the way of life, amen? So I'm going to share with you just a couple things this morning. It's going to help you. I believe it will. Take a look at Mark 9:16. This is in the New Living Translation. Kind of breaks it out a little bit better for you this morning. Mark 9:16. And I like this scripture. I'm gonna break it down, and we're gonna size it up and see what Jesus said about this. Mark 9:16. It says, "What is all this arguing about?" Jesus asked. So there's an argument going on. Amen. Like, hey, what's happening? What are you guys doing? What are you arguing about? I can see Jesus getting a little upset. He said, come on. What's up, guys? It says, one of the men in the crowd spoke up. One that had some guts. Spoke up and said, teacher, I brought my son so that you could heal him. All right. Jesus is like, all right, cool. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently on the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. That's what happens when you don't serve God. You become rigid. But God wants to knock those chips off your shoulder. Amen. So you're not so rigid. So you're more pliable and bendable, so you can get in circumstances and situations and just flow. I'm just trying to help you. I mean, I'm just trying to help you pull something out of the scripture this morning. So he asked his disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. He said, I could just picture Jesus as saying, I sent you out. I've given you the power. You've seen me. I've given you the authority. Someone asked you to do something, and you didn't do it. Jesus was a little upset. Jesus said to them, you faithless people, how long must I be with you? Oh, man. How long must I put up with you? Think about that. You ever said that? How long am I going to put up with those people? I just, you know, come on. Come on. You know how that is. So, you know, when you say that, you're no different than what Jesus is saying. It's okay to say, don't these people get it? What's going on here? I mean, I can just picture Jesus saying, I've been with these disciples. I've fed 5,000. I've done this. I've done miracle signs and wonders, and they still don't get it. You ever been around with people that you hung with and they still don't get it? He said, bring the boy to me. He said, Jesus is not playing anymore. He's just like, come on, just bring the kid over here. So they brought the boy. But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, withering and foaming at the mouth. Let me explain something to you. When you come across an evil spirit or a demon spirit, those things want to flee you because you're full of God. Trying to help. And it says, how long, Jesus asked this question, how long has this been happening? In other words, why have you been in the same state, your same predicament, the same issues, you keep on going around and around, the same, how long? How long? I'm just helping you this morning, because God was teaching me some things too. How long, Jeff, are you going to continue to do what you're doing, dummy? I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you proceed. I'm trying to help open some doors for you. When are you going to listen? Huh? When are you going to start doing it my way and not your way? Your way is a good way, but my way is a God way. My way always works. Your way may work, it may not work. Hey. Just trying to help. Jesus, how long has this happened? And Jesus asked the boy's father, and he replied, since he was a little boy. He's been jacked up since he was born. Then the spirit often would throw him into the fire or into the water trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. I like this. Help us if you can. He's asking Jesus, help me if you can. Like, I don't know if you can or not. And Jesus said, what do you mean if I can? Jesus was always willing, always wanting to. All you had to do is believe. So Jesus said, anything is possible if a person believes. Except a couple things, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? Anything is possible, but you can't have a new car because you never had one. That's what it says. Come on now, right? Anything is possible for a person who believes. So the person who does not believe doesn't get everything. So you get disqualified when you don't believe in him. How many friends you know have been disqualified? Their life's jacked up, and they think it's good, but it's not. And it's they're really just living on a moment to moment basis. And they think they have it all, but they don't have Jesus, so they can't have anything. It's impossible. Only for those who believe. Jesus is looking for believers this morning. Those that trust in him and believe in him. See, God can turn around the most hopeless situation. When I was diagnosed with this pancreas disorder for 12 years, they told me, you're going to die. Your diagnosis is death. I said, well, that's a pretty good one. I really don't choose that one, but I guess if that's what I'm going to have, I guess, okay. This morning, I want to say something. That if life looks hopeless and there seems to be no way out, it seems impossible for you, it is. But it's not impossible for God. All things are possible for people who simply believe that God will show up on their behalf. I believe that God's going to show up on my behalf. I don't know how. You know, there's a song. God, he's always on time. He's the on-time kind of God. Yes, I am. Well, he might not be on your time, but he's always on time. Amen. He might take you all the way to the 12th hour, and you're like, God, I can't do anymore. You're right about to tap out. God says, oh, no, I'm here. People thought Lazarus was out. Oh, he's dead, Jesus. But, oh, you showed up late. Don't worry. You know, he's now dead. He said, no, I'll take care of that situation. Jesus, when he shows up, when you trust and believe in him, he will take your impossibilities and make them possible. God wants you to have unlimited possibilities, but you got to believe in him. Amen? You got to simply believe. What is impossible for you is not impossible for God, because God's not handcuffed. We walk around society handcuffed. Well, I can't do that because I've been told I can't do that. I've been born and raised. I said, boy, you'll never amount to nothing. You only amount to be a janitor. You'll only be able to do this. And people start labeling you and putting you into a box and say, that's all you're going to amount to be. Amen? You're a stutter. You say, you'll never be a public speaker. But then Moses, look at Moses. He was a stutter, and then he brought all those people out of the country. Amen? God will use you. It looks impossible, but God will make it possible. He's trying to help you. Whatever you have the faith to believe for, God can do it. Let me say that again. Whatever you have the faith to believe for, God can do it. Put it to the faith slide. Faith. That's all it takes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five-letter word. Faith. So all you got to do is just go do it. You just got to have faith to believe. If you can believe it, you can receive it. Oh, Pastor, that's crazy. Some of us limit our thinking. Amen. My wife is good at expanding my thinking. She stretches me beyond my limited capabilities. Amen. So I have to trust God for the impossible. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm glad that's why she's a helpmate. Amen. I mean, y'all laughing, but no, she has stretched me to points where I didn't think was possible. And God says, listen, just your wife's smart on this. You just, and she would take me to a whole nother, God will take you to a whole nother level. Amen. Stretching my faith, believing for things that I said, well, you know. She says, no, God said you can have it. Do you believe that? Oh, yeah, I do. She goes, yeah, you don't. You got to believe it. You got to believe it. And then once I got around to thinking, and she starts to speak it around the house, and then I start to hear it, then I start to believe it. Oh, my God. It's before reality, when two are together, you know, it put 10,000 to flight. And all of a sudden, I start seeing these things happen in my life. I'm believing I see some good things in her life, too. I'm believing and hoping and praising. Hallelujah. We need to become Christ-minded. We need to see the end result. God's already seen the beginning of the Alpha and the Omega. He's seen it all. He's got the whole encapsulated. In the in-between parts, he's just trying to get you to where you need to go. But you got to have faith to believe. The results you experience is based upon the amount of faith you have on a particular thing. Let me say that again. The results you experience is based upon the amount of faith you have on a particular thing. If you think you can have a house, my wife and I are believing for a nice new home, amen, that we will own and own free and clear. Not with payments. We'll pay the taxes that's owed to Caesar, and then that's it. Amen? Oh, that's crazy, Pastor. I mean, a house would be $300,000. Well, can God handle $300,000? I mean, that's nothing for God. That's just change coming out of his pocket. Amen? What are you putting your focus on? Why do you want to have a nice house? Well, I want to have a nice house so I can show what God's given. And if he can do it for me, he will do it for you. He doesn't do it because I'm pastor. He does it because you're faithful. But you got to be able to be focused on the things of God. God will turn your impossible situations around if you just believe him. You just got to believe. Whatever you've been believing for, maybe it's somebody in your household that hasn't been saved, somebody that hasn't been serving God. Listen, it may take years for them to get it, but eventually they'll get it. Amen? It took me years to get it. My brother, when he got saved and joined that cult called Christianity, we were going to do an intervention because he got saved. He was the first one. We were a good Catholic family, and we could get in and out of church in 30 minutes. And, you know, I could lie to the priest in that confessional. I didn't do anything, man, but I'll make up a couple lies, you know. And then my brother got saved, and he started carrying a Bible. And we're like, a Bible? You know, the guy had a black book, but it wasn't because it wasn't a Bible. It had a list of names in it, you know. But he got transformed by the power of his word. And what happened is he used to be tied up and bound up by limitations. And then when he got God, he got this mindset of being unlimited. Unlimited possibilities for him. Why can't I be the youngest vice president at this company? Why can't I run a company? Why won't they promote me? Why? And he's saying, I think I can do it. What did he do? He did things God's way, and he got promoted. He was the youngest president at one company. He was the youngest vice president at another company. He began to grow the corporate. Why? Because he did things God's way. Amen? But don't shout me down on this part. Tithing and giving offerings to the Lord is an act of faith and trust in the Lord. I didn't make it up. The Bible said it. I didn't write it. I would have wrote something different. But, you know, I like my money. My money is my money is my money is my money. But now I found out it's all God's money. Amen. And then when it gets into the house, it becomes my wife's money. Amen. And then, praise God, I get my small amount of money. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because I only need a little allowance. But why do we have money and she handles it? Because she can handle money. She knows what to do with it. Amen. She knows how to position it. She knows how to bless people with it. And then I get all this return. I'm like, honey, I mean, I know you're blessing people. But my God, we're getting all this return. Amen? She's an investor into people. She does. She'll buy you lunch and they hang with you to see where you're at to help you grow. Amen? Don't trust. I get the benefit of it. Amen? But this is where people struggle about tithing and offering. It's an act of faith. In the area, this is where most Christians struggle, but once you get a hold of it, there's unlimited possibilities that open up for you. For me, I used to start off and I was like a 1% tither. I remember I started, man, and my brother said, you got to start somewhere. I said, well, I'm willing to give 1%. So I'd give $10. And then my brother said, did you miss the $10? I said, well, no. So I'd give, you know, 2%. And all of a sudden, boy, I was like, did you miss that? No. You know, I'm pretty blessed. Things are starting to stabilize in my life. I didn't have that refrigerator that would break down or the drywall that broke or the leak in the roof, amen. And then I'd give 5%, and I was like, wow, man, I'm still being blessed. And, man, my gas tank seems like it stretched a little further, and my checkbook seemed I have a little bit more at the end of the month than I did before. And then I started giving 7%. And then I got to the 10%. My brother goes, how does it feel to give 10%? I mean, it was like $100 a week. I was like, $100 a week? My God, a lot of money. I mean, that's $400 a month. Oh, my God, you know. Add up the math. And I realized that I never missed a 400. I realized that all my bills were paid. All the things were. Because what happens is if you limit God in not giving, then you limit him in the ability to bless you financially. Just, you know, just So I've learned that if I can give him more than the 10% because I want to honor him, then I know I got more coming my way. Amen? More's coming my way. But sometimes we struggle with it. We're like, well, you know, but I only got, you know, $40 and I need that for gas. Well, maybe you should trust God for your gas. Try and help you. Because what happens is if you limit God in certain areas of your life, he limits you. He can't open up that door for you because you've locked it tight. Because you don't believe. See, it's that believing that God can help me financially. God can bless me financially. Oh, sure, Pastor. But there's a way that God does things. You've got to trust him. I trust God with all my finances. If he says to go give, I go give. And sometimes I cry. Lord, are you sure? My wife's looking at me. You sure? I tell a story that we were at Fick Wiffen, this the Fellowship of Inner City Word of Faith Ministries down in L.A. And if you gave $1,000, you know, was the cutoff, then you could go up and say your name and the name of the church you're at and praise God, you know, and they did these offerings just to get you in the spirit of giving. So I was like, okay. So God says, I need you to write a check. It was like $1,000 or something like that. And I'm like, there ain't a check. I mean, we're going to be here 5 days, and I'm going to give, you know, a couple $100. You know, there's going to be a couple offerings a day. So if I give, you know, I'll spend maybe the total of $1,000, but I ain't writing a check for $1,000 off the get-go. God said, write a check for $1,000. My wife's nudging me. It's like, he already told you to write a check for $1,000. I'm like, I write the check begrudgingly. So I write the check. Go up there and I put it in the offering and praise God. And he put $1,000 in there and being obedient. And so rest of the services, we gave offerings. They weren't as large as I wanted to do, but I gave offerings on top of it. And there was one check I didn't even have any more money in my own account to write, but I trusted God that it would be covered, you know, because I knew it would take them a few days to cash that check, so I would be good, amen. I had faith to believe. And so we get home, and then in the thing is that the church had just started, God says, you know, I'm going to reward you that diligently seek me. I'm going to open up some possibilities, that unlimited possibilities for you. So we get home, and there's this check for $10,000. But I released $1,000 in from my hand into God's hand, and God multiplied it. Just trying to let you know how that works. So writing $1,000 checks, no problem anymore. I mean, when God tells me to write $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000, I mean, it's, you know, you got to make sure you're hearing from God. But when he tells you to do it, you just do it. Because he's setting you up for something bigger and better. He's saying, do you still trust me? When you get that commission check for $50,000 and I need $5,000 of it, because that's what the offering, the tithe would be on it, do you still trust me, or are you just going to give me $2,500? Oh, no, Lord, it's $5,000. I can't wait. Right? I get excited about when I get my bonus checks, when they come in. Most of you come in more frequently. But when they come in, it's nice to write that big check. It just makes you feel good that you're still trusting God. Amen. God looks at the heart of man to see your faith. He looks at your heart. He doesn't look on their outward appearance. Thank God he didn't, because that was a mess, and you probably were too when you got saved. Take a look at King Hezekiah. He had a heart after God. I'm saying this because we don't want to limit God in any area. If God says to go help somebody with their groceries in their car, or you're at Sam's, or open up a door, he's trying to help you because someone's going to give you the same kind of treatment. There's unlimited possibilities for you as a Christian. All you got to do is believe. Take a look at Isaiah 38:1. Isaiah 38:1. This is in the Old Testament. Isaiah 38:1. This is the New Living Translation. There was this king called King Hezekiah, and I want to share something with you so that you'll get something in your spirit this morning. It says this: about that time, Hezekiah became deathly ill, and the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to visit him. And he gave the king this message. It wasn't good news. It says, this is what the Lord says. Set your affairs in order, for you're going to die. Oh, man. Thank you for the good report. You will not recover from this illness. Let me stop there. I remember the doctor told me the same thing. He put an expiration date on my bottom of my feet and says, you're not going to live beyond this date. The doctor's report said, but all things are possible with God. The mountain moving, faith moving God. So he says, set the affairs in order. You're going to die. You're not going to recover from this illness. And when Hezekiah heard this, he turned his face to the wall. You might want to underline. He turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. He says, remember, O Lord. Now, I mean, I've been there. I said, oh, Lord, remember? Remember when I did this, Lord? And remember when I did that, Lord? And remember when I did this for those people? And remember when I fed the homeless, Lord? I can relate. He says, remember, O Lord, how I have always been faithful to you and have served you single-mindedly, always doing what pleases you. Then he broke down and wept bitterly. I've done that. I said, Lord, I want to live to see my daughter graduate. And I want to walk her down the aisle. I want to spend time with my son. And I want to be time with my wife. And it's too early to cash in, Lord God. I'm willing to do whatever it takes, Lord, so I can have a little bit more life, so I can make a little bit more impact. Then this message came to Isaiah from the Lord. Go back to Hezekiah and tell him this with the Lord, the God, your ancestor David says. He says, I've heard your prayer and have seen your tears, and I will add 15 years to your life. Gave him 15 more years. Now let me say this. God's looking for a loyal heart, one that is always trying to do right. I'm not saying is always right, but is always trying to do the right thing. God will always check your heart. Is it pure? Is it holy? Are you doing it for motives, or are you doing it for me? Are you doing it so that you can be seen, or are you doing it so that I see? Notice King Hezekiah, he was here. He turned his face towards the wall and sought God in the situation that seemed hopeless. And he did not waver in his faith or seek another man's opinion. He seeked the Lord. He faced the wall. He turned his face to the wall because he wanted to make sure there would be nothing that would distract him from seeing what God had for him. Sometimes you got to turn your face to the wall so nothing distracts you and all you see is God. Sometimes you got to turn away. He even turned away. When you look at it, he turned away from the prophet that was speaking to him. There's something to be said about that. You need to turn away from negative people, negative situations, and negative circumstances until all you do is see God. Oh, Pastor, sometimes there's people that are trying to get you off track, and you have to say, bye-bye. See ya. Won't want to be ya. Love you from afar. He turned away from all the noise that says you're going to die. And he began to pray. Sometimes you need to get alone with God in the secret place of the Most High and press in till you see God see you through it. God, sometimes through difficult situations, we use the experience to get your attention or get your focus back on Him. Sometimes we're just so busy doing things for God, but God, He says, you're still distracted. You're not focused really on me. You're doing things for the kingdom, but you're not doing them for me. But you see that God moved on the behalf of Hezekiah because of his faith. Not because he was a great guy, not because of his stature of king. He moved because of his faith. God doesn't look at things like man does. We prejudge people. The guy got a nice suit, nice tie. The woman's dressed nice. They must have some money. Oh, look at, they're driving that BMW or that Bentley or that vehicle or that. They must have some money. Oh, they're living in that mansion up on top of that hill. Well, you know, sometimes looks are deceiving. You didn't know that they're repossessing the car that he hadn't made, hadn't payments on. The clothes that he hadn't paid the bill on. And the house he was renting, it really wasn't his. Come on now. But we judge. We say, hey, look at that guy. He's got all these things, and that woman's got all that stuff going on. And God's saying, don't judge by that. Don't look at the outward appearance, because man always looks on the outward appearance where God is looking at the heart of man. God looks at the heart. Take a look at the slide. You're going to appreciate this one. Homer Simpson. There you go. I thought you'd appreciate that. See, everybody's looking at, he's looking in the mirror, amen, and he's thinking, hey, man, I'm just ripped, man. I'm sure. He looks himself one way, but he's another way. And sometimes when you look in the mirror, you see yourself some other way. You got to get in line with what the Word says. God is not opposed to Homer with his little pants hanging down here, and he's not impressed that he's got a whole bunch of muscles either. God wants what's in his heart. Amen? Trying to help you. God looks on the inside of the heart, not on the outward appearance of man. But see, we look at that and say, boy, that guy is healthy as heck. And that body there, I mean, I used to have a body that used to look like that. That was a long time ago. Amen. Now I'm going to donate my body to science fiction because no one else would take it. Amen. But, I used to have a V. Now I got more of a rounder shape. Amen. I mean, it's all good. It's all good. Round hole, square peg, I'll fit in there somehow, you know. I just don't go down chimneys anymore, Santa Claus, because they get stuck, okay? Praise God. But I used to look, muscle bound like that, and I thought I was healthy. I mean, seriously, I was really healthy looking. I was. I had that perfect V, I worked out, and I was strong as an ox and all that good stuff, but my insides were all tore up. My heart was not right. My pancreas wasn't functioning. I looked good on the outside, but on the inside, I was a mess. My mindset was messed up. I was serving the things of the world instead of serving the things of God. I was limiting my possibilities by the things I was doing. Amen? Employers don't hire drunks. See, you limit yourself. Come on now. So I tell my kids, I don't have any problem with people with tattoos and piercings and all. That's all good. But sometimes people that are in business look at that and say, well, you don't want to limit. Don't allow the things of the world to limit you. Amen? There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying, think about how people perceive you. It might be totally wrong, but they still perceive you by what they see. Amen? They look on the outward appearance. And sometimes the outward appearance is deceiving. My son was doing a little job this week. On Friday, and we went to go, he's doing some scooter work. He does repairs on scooters and stuff. And so we went into this neighborhood, he was doing some work. And he was a young fellow, about 24 years old, and his girlfriend and some of his friends. And they're all drinking and stuff. And the guy just started wanting to talk to me. I don't know, it must be, I got some kind of, I don't know. And the guy says, well, I'm a Pisces, man, and I'm emotional. And he's drinking his beer. I'm going, you're emotional because you're drinking all that beer. But praise the Lord, And so he tells me the story, and I says, well, what's going on? He goes, man, my girlfriend and I are fighting, and I just want a good relationship. Man, I've been married 20 years, man. It's a give and take, and you just got to work through it, You just got to work through the stuff, but you can't be drinking, because then it alters your mindset. So he's telling me, he goes, I get pulled over all the time. I've spent some time in jail for jaywalking, right? And I says, what do you mean? He says, yeah, the cops over here, man, Henderson, they harassed me. Well, I'm looking how he's dressed, and he's carrying beer, and, he's staggering already, And I'm thinking, brother, I mean, if you just could catch this for a moment. It's I'm not looking at your outward appearance. I think whatever you got, God's going to fix it all, amen? But other people judge that. So when they see you stumbling, and you got a beer in your hand, and they're the tall boys, amen? At least the nice thing about it, he was polite. He offered me some of his beer. Amen. I told him, hey, brother, I don't drink. And he was going to go to the store and get some more. Amen. But it was just a time just to listen to people where they're at. Not judging where they live, but just judging their lifestyle. Amen. So my son worked on his moped, and he took him to school, showed him how his moped works, and kind of rebuilt the thing like in about a couple hours. And, we just got them hanging out in the heat and sweating. And, it was all good, though. And just be a witness. And then the guy said, hey, one other guy that we fixed the scooter said, hey, can you drive me up to the store? He says, I need to get some food at Albertson. And he goes, I'll give you a couple bucks to drive. I'm like, man, your money's no good. I'll take you there. I'm going that way anyway. So he's got some things that we can work on. So we're going to go visit him again. But before my left, my son asked him, so what church you go to? The little evangelist in the back, you know, here he is. The guy said, well, I go to ICLV when I go. And then my son's kind of waiting for me, and I didn't want to spring it out. I said, well, you know, I'm a pastor in a church here in Henderson. You got to come visit me, you know. So we're going to go visit him when he rebuilds that guy's crankshaft and his belt and all the other stuff. But just going to be yourself. See, right now, these folks are limited and bound. But when we come on, when we go visit, when we don't go and condemn, and we don't judge by the been doing this or that, but we come in there with our lifestyle, and the guy looks, man, you got a nice car. Yeah. God got this for me. He looks at my son's scooter. Man, that's a cool scooter, man. How'd he get that? Because he gave, and God blessed, and he, you know, come on. We're the light in a dark spot. I told my wife, I laughed. We pulled in the neighborhood. All these kids are running up to the car and waving at us. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm a celebrity, you know. I it was kind of cool, you know. And they come up to the car, you know, and all the kids are there, you know. Hoping I was passing $100 bills or something, but I wasn't. But it was kind of cool. So we're going to go back. And I told the guy, I said, man, you know, we'll hook you up. My son said, I'll hook you up on all this stuff and give you a real good deal and, you know, guy paid cash. We like cash. Amen. Praise God. And my son is going to tithe on that today, isn't he? Yes, you are. Amen, brother. Amen. Just trying to help you. Just trying to help you. Get you some more. I mean, you know, just trying to help, you know. Because the unlimited possibilities God has for you in your life, son. I'm just trying to help. Amen. Take a look at Samuel 16:6. We'll close with this. 1 Samuel 16:6. Are you getting anything this morning? Just trying to help you. 1 Samuel 16:6. It says, so it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see a man what a man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the what? At the heart. He looks at the heart. Man limits God or puts him in a box. Limiting God in your faith limits the possibilities of God to move on your behalf. I told those kids, my son was saying, yeah, the dad you see now wasn't the guy he was 25 years ago. Kid goes, what? So I had to share with him. I said, man, I lived outside of Detroit, and I was a landlord, and I had no problem having someone bust your legs and, you know, bust your arm, or didn't pay the whole rent, then you only get one hand broken. I wouldn't do it. I had somebody else do it. But I was guilty because I'm the one who placed the order. Come on. Wasn't always kind-hearted. Always didn't do the right thing. Hung around with the drunks, and I got more drunker. Hung around with the dopers and got more doped up. Hung around with the women that were for rent. Amen. Timeshare, I like that. Cost me a lot of time and a lot of share, I tell you. But all things are possible with Jesus Christ. And you got to expand your mindset and your capacity of your heart to receive. God has unlimited possibilities for each and every one of us. We just don't know it because we've limited God in so many areas of our life. Well, I can't do that. As soon as you say you can't, you won't have. You got to speak it like you've got it. I'm believing I'm having a house that's going to be new, and it's not going to have any problems, and it's going to be paid for. I don't have that yet, but I'm believing that that's going to somehow, something's going to transpire. Somehow, some way, someone's going to have a house. Somehow, some way, God's going to put me in front of somebody that says, you know, my parents just died and we have this house for you. Or, hey, you know, I'm very wealthy and I don't come here anymore to Vegas because I live in L.A. in a mansion, you know, and I just want to give you this house. Would that be suitable for you to have the five-bedroom and the big mansion and the gates and all that? I guess I'll receive that, Jesus. But if you don't believe that can happen, you'll never receive it. Come on. Sometimes I might just have to work real hard every day to put some money away so God opens the door, and then I get the super deal. I get double for my trouble. You know, whatever how that God has to orchestrate, but he'll do that for me. Why? Because I've taken that limitation off my mindset. God can turn any situation around, but you got to use the word and apply it to your life every day. You got to believe that the word will work for you. I know it works for me, but you got to believe for yourself that it will work for you. I can't make you believe it. You have to believe it. You got to get the mind of Christ. You got to know that you already have the victory. Even though you seem like you're in last place right now, at the end of the race, you win. The race ain't over. It's a marathon. We walk by faith and not by sight, not by what we see, not by what we hear, or not by what we touch. I've been ridiculed. I've been picked on. I've been put down. I've been said I'll amount to nothing. But man, I'm making them all jealous of me now. Oh, I'm going to be a janitor. That's what I was told when I graduated high school. Your ACT tests were so low, they were laughable. I said, yeah, I know, I didn't study. So you're pigeonholed. You're going to be that. Really? But I had parents that would speak, you can do all things. You can do it. You can do it. Your brother and sister did it. You're not dummy. You can do it. You can do all things through Christ Jesus. God doesn't limit you. You limit yourself. God is looking for a person with a pure heart. God looks at the heart of a man, not on the outward appearance. Didn't matter if you're ugly. God will still use you. Didn't matter if you're stutterer like Moses. God will use you. God hasn't forgotten. He loves you. See, what you need to do is begin to forget your past, because Godhood has already forgiven you, has already forgotten. Don't hold on to your past, but hold on to a bright future that's coming. Amen? But you got to believe. See, this is the thing. I can't make you believe it. I can't make you believe in giving. I had a hard time giving. I mean, I went to church for about 6 months before I gave one nickel of my pocket, because I liked my money, because it was my money. But then I was, man, everything was breaking. Everything was failing. I had heartache and problems, and geez, it wasn't working. And my wife and I lived together, and we weren't married yet. And we were wondering why things weren't working right. So as soon as we got that right, man, it was like this thing lifted, the unlimited capabilities. We didn't fight hardly anymore. We got along real well. And before you know it, we had children. Two children. Amen? But you got to do things in God's order. And you got to walk in your mindset that I have unlimited possibilities, that I can do anything when I have Christ Jesus on my side. I can actually be healed and made whole by the power of His Word. But if you don't believe it, you won't be. Come on. God has already forgotten your past, so forget it too. God wants to turn your impossible into possible through Jesus Christ. You do it by reading the Bible, spending time meditating on the Word, going out and building up your faith, because nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is. Nothing. I like what Jesus said to that guy. I mean, all you got to do is believe. Can you do this? I mean, asking Jesus, can you do this? It's like, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? You got to get that mindset about yourself on who you are in Christ. God created you to be the head, not the tail. He created you to walk in the things of God, to be blessed and highly favored. I'm not saying you should have a lot of things. If you don't like a lot of things, I'm finding I like less things. Because those things get in my way when I'm walking through the garage. I'm going to get that stuff out of the way. Come on now. Why do I have 15 winter coats? It doesn't snow in Vegas. But I like those winter coats, but somebody might need those this winter. So I'm going to put those aside so I can go to the park and bless somebody. That was a $500 jacket. Yeah, but I ain't going to wear that $500 jacket. But once a year maybe? I ain't going back where it's cold. I'll go back in the summertime. call me with a cold country, it'd say, sorry, number disconnected. Nothing's impossible for God. I remember I told a friend, the guy goes, I want a new car. I says, your car's filthy, messy. If you don't clean this, how God going to bless something? God going to bless that mess? He says, that's crazy. I says, God looks at everything. How are you going to bless you with a new car when you don't even take care of the one you got? So what? There's rust on it. So what? That it's falling apart. But as long as you keep it clean and intact, guess what? God honors that. He's trying to be real. Wherever you limit God, you'll be limited. If you're not friendly to people, then you're not going to have a lot of friends. Wait it. I'm trying to limit my friends. We only have a couple. Huh? You might need somebody someday. You might want to have a few more friends. It's trying to help you. God is telling me to tell you, you have unlimited possibilities at your hands. All you got to do is tap into it. All you got to do is tap into it. It's already available. The bank is already full of money. He just hasn't transferred it into your account yet. Your health hasn't been all together yet, but if you do the right things and work and exercise and eat the right thing, guess what? Your body will get in shape. It will do what it says to do according to the Word of God. But eating that large pizza and 15 ho-hos and the new Twinkies that are coming out, praise God. I mean, can't wait to try those. I just squeezed a cream filling. Healthy. Ain't gonna help you. I don't want to eat that vegetable. I know, but it's good for you. That green bean is good for you. That smoothie is good for you when you put the right stuff in it. Can't put chocolate chips and butter cups and, I like all that stuff. I have to put some whey protein in it. I have to go to the GYM. It's not a guy that you wave by. Hey, Jim, hey. It's a place that you go and spend some time and you sweat because you ate wrong all day long. And it shows up somewhere. Somewhere. Buy bigger pants. God wants you healthy. You know why? Because when you're unhealthy, it limits you. When you go out and do ministry work, and I was 365 pounds, believe it or not, it limited my ability to do things. To go pray in a prayer line, I was breaking out in sweat. Man, oh, man, my feet would, at the end of the day, would be crying. Why are you stepping on me? Because you got 365 pounds on your heels. It ain't good for it. I was limiting God's ability to do more ministry because of my size. One day God said, well, it's going to be. But I like the pizza. The whole pizza. God had to change my mindset around it. He says, you just don't rave by the gym anymore. You go into the gym. Use your membership. It has its privileges when you use it. When you use the Word of God that you have membership to, it opens up unlimited possibilities for you. Just a little Holy Spirit word for you. I'm just trying to help you. Don't limit God by what you think, by what you say, by what you do. Jesus didn't. He didn't want to die on that cross, but he did it for you and for me. He did. Because he loved you. You could be like that Homer Simpson. But God's not looking on the outward appearance. He's looking at the inward heart of a man and a woman. We're going to get ready. We're going to praise God for a moment. Amen. We'll do that. And then we'll close. Amen. Did you get anything yet this morning? Let this word get digested when we praise and worship him this morning. Allow this word to kind of sink in your spirit, man, this morning. And if you want to stand up and raise your hand and shout hallelujah for the things God's doing for you, go ahead and do that. That's what this service is about. Amen. So